And so what I want to do with you before we come to our sharing time this morning is to reflect with you on the nature of Thanksgiving. And what I mean by that is when you go beyond the surface material things, which are so easy to come to, so easy to list, what is there deeper? What's deeper in there? It's easy to slip into surface level things, which are so easy. But I think we all know that the Lord deserves an appreciation for some of the deeper things beyond just token expressions. And so I want to take you both a little deeper this morning and then also a little bit longer, that our thinking wouldn't just be the immediate, but what's the longer narrative of our lives, those two things. I'm reminded of a caution that God gave to the nation of Israel, and he gave it to them over and over again as they were being delivered out of Egypt, as they were preparing to enter the promised land, and then once they were in the promised land, again and again, he gave the same caution to them. And that was just not only to obey the things that he taught them, but the caution was always to be careful to obey. And I think we understand that Satan is so subtle in how he twists things, where we may think we're obeying the Lord, but in fact, we've somehow drifted just one or two degrees off true north, and we haven't even realized it. And so be careful, recalibrate, and that's what we want to do this morning. And you think, can this actually happen with Thanksgiving? You may think, how can you go wrong with Thanksgiving, right? We're giving thanks. It's pretty clear cut. We're either thankful or we're not. Is it really that easy? Let's see. The scriptures teach us to be thankful, clearly. One example, Psalm 86, verse 12. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. And the thing I want you to notice here is the reference to the whole heart. And I think you will realize by now that our reason for gathering week after week is to make wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that proper wholehearted thanksgiving is part of this response. And so today we are going to give thanks, but I want to ask, are we being careful in giving thanks? Are we giving thanks with our whole heart? And what is that subtle danger that might cause us to drift? And so I want to ask you to bring to mind a story of when God was delivering Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And when you think about that story, there's all kinds of, there's parts of the story that we're familiar with and that we reflect on and we probably know. You could probably list some of the 10 plagues. And of course, we all know that Charlton Heston is the one who delivered Israel out of Egypt. And so there's parts of the story that we know, whether it's by film or whether it's by Bible stories we were taught. But I want to remind you that for Israel, this was actual history. This wasn't a story. They lived it, and there were details that they experienced in this deliverance that we tend not to put at the forefront of our minds. And it's one of those details that I want us to think about this morning. That as Israel was leaving Egypt, God sent them out dressed like royalty. Exodus 3:21, God said this before he delivered them. He said, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and that when you go, you will not go empty. Each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing, and you'll put them on your sons and daughters, and so you shall plunder the Egyptians. And so picture this nation of Israel who have been slaves in Egypt for not just decades, but decades upon decades, who have been dressed as slaves, and now they're walking out of Egypt dressed like royalty. They're dressed in the same clothes that they had seen their masters wear. They're dressed in the same clothes and the same jewelry that the entitled people who oppressed them were wearing, and now they are wearing these things. They're wearing treasures of gold and silver as they walk out of Egypt. They come to Mount Sinai, where Moses was given the Ten Commandments. And while Moses was on the mountain, what did the people do with the gold? They made a golden calf, didn't they? They made a golden calf, and they worshiped the golden calf. Now, you need to understand that the Egyptians had a god who was a golden bull. Coincidence? I don't think so. No sooner had they been delivered from Egypt that they turned to the god of Egypt who enslaved them and use him as their model, and they form their own golden calf, one of their own. Can you see how ironic it is that already they're looking back to slavery and entering into a form of slavery? Can you see how offensive this would be to the God who actually delivered them? Who gave them the gold? Well, God did. We just read it. God gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they plundered them as they left. God did this, and I'm pretty sure that as Israel was walking out of Egypt wearing gold and silver and these amazing clothes, I'm pretty sure they were thankful. But notice how quickly people can take something that is given by God and turn it into something that is offensive to God. And the offense is not the gold. The offense is how it is perceived and how it is used. Somehow Israel had come to understand that the gold was theirs and that they could do with the gold as they wanted. And what they wanted was to be like the Egyptians. So Moses comes down the mountain. He destroys the idol. They deal with the sin and they move on. And as their journey unfolds, it's not long after that before God shows them one of the reasons he gave them the gold in the first place. God gives Israel his instructions for building a tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle, as you know, is a portable temple. It's made like a tent. And the tent was made out of fine linens, cloths. Where did they come from? Inside the temple was the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered in gold. Where did that come from? The candlesticks, everything that was used for the sacrifices. Where did those gold items come from? Where was Israel supposed to come up with these things in the middle of the desert? Well, God had already provided it, didn't he? The gold and the silver were for God's purposes, not just for Israel's purposes. And herein lies the caution, that when I think of Thanksgiving, I think of a spectrum. And everyone on the spectrum at Thanksgiving is thankful. Everyone is thankful for the gold and the silver and all the blessings that come from God. Everyone on the spectrum celebrates Thanksgiving. But on one end of the spectrum are the people who recognize that we hold these gifts in trust for God's purposes. He gave them to us for a reason. And the other end of the spectrum are people also acknowledge it's all from God, let's give thanks, it's Thanksgiving. But on this end of the spectrum are the people who assume that the gifts are for us and that we can do with them as we please. They are for our purposes. You know that the book of James in the New Testament is a book of wisdom. And it describes the people on the left as the rich with wisdom. What's the result of rich with wisdom? Generosity, compassion, care for widows and orphans, and all manner of care for the poor, meeting needs, stewardship. But then James also describes the people on the other side of the spectrum, the rich without wisdom, and he says that these people have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. And there's the caution that on this Thanksgiving weekend, both ends of the spectrum will give thanks to God for all the things that the Lord has given to them. But only one end of the spectrum will have been careful about it. Thanksgiving is more than being thankful for what God has given us. That's only the surface level of thanksgiving, recognizing what we have received. Going deeper in this thanksgiving is discerning why He has given us these things. Why is it, do you think, that God has given to you the things that He has entrusted to you? It could be very little, doesn't matter. It could be much, doesn't matter. What matters is, what are you doing with the trust that God has entrusted to you? Who is it for? Israel turned that trust into idolatry. They literally turned the gold into an idol. And it became something that they worshiped. It became something where they worshiped the idol rather than the God who gave the gold. Now, was there a problem with Israel having gold and silver? No. God gave it to them. The problem is never with the gold and the silver that God entrusts. The problem is always with the heart's response to the gold. Now, I have never taken gold and melted it and made it into an idol. Not literally. I don't own any gold other than my wedding ring and maybe some other little trinkets. But figuratively speaking, I really have to ask, what idol might I have formed out of the gold that God has entrusted to me? What do I worship that displaces God, the one who gave it? Just like Israel displaced God by worshiping the gift that He gave them. Getting practical here. Sometimes we get distracted by asking, well, how much gold is okay? You know, I have to pay for my shelter, my home, my mortgage, my rent, my groceries, and everything else that's so expensive today. How much is for my purposes, and how much is for God's purposes? That question actually raises a false narrative. Because I think my response would be that 100% is for God's purposes, and that God's purposes include your need for shelter and groceries. That's one of the reasons God gave these things to you. The problem comes when it becomes the primary reason God has given these things to you. And the question for discernment is never about a dollar amount. It has nothing to do with how much each family in Israel carried out of Egypt with them on that journey. The question is about their heart towards those gifts. Again, come back to Psalm 86. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. And if my whole heart is for the Lord, then it's easy for me to release the gold for God's purposes, because the gold does not control my heart. But if my heart is divided between the Lord and the gold, then it's a lot harder for me to give it away. I remember learning this lesson for the first time. The first time I had a job, I wasn't making much, but I had some regular income. I was cutting lawns, $5 a week. And then I came to church on Sunday. And I had to deal for the first time about giving something away that I felt was mine. Now, the amount that I was giving was so small. I mean, it was literally insignificant. But it wasn't insignificant, was it? Because it wasn't about what I was giving. It was about the formation of my heart. It began with 50 cents. What matters is not how much gold, but how much heart. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." Now, I've said it before, I've said it this morning, that our desire is to be a community of believers, wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. And what that means is Jesus is our first love. And that the nature of our thanksgiving is actually a barometer of our wholehearted devotion to Christ. Now, there's another part of thanksgiving that's connected to careful introspection. We've talked about going deep. Now I want to talk about going beyond into a larger narrative. So we think deeper, but now I want to invite you also to think longer. 2 weeks ago, I attended the funeral of my last surviving uncle, my Uncle Harry, on my mother's side. So my mother is now the sole survivor of that generation in her family. She's the only one. And part of the story included the telling of my Uncle Harry's life. And as they were reading the story, I realized that this is also the story of my mom's life. Because mom was right there with Harry when they were children. And it struck me that this is actually my story. Mom and Uncle Harry, they were born in what is now the war-torn region of Ukraine. They left it because it was then the war-torn region of Ukraine. They were sponsored by the Mennonite Central Committee to travel by ship to Paraguay, and then eventually to immigrate to Canada. And at this funeral were four generations of family. There was my mother and Harry's wife, Tina, my aunt. She still survived. But they are the last of this generation. And gathered there were their children, which is us, the children, the cousins. But there were also the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. And it struck me that there is in our family a generational narrative of God's provision. There was a deliverance from the war of Ukraine to what was the relative poverty of Paraguay. And then there was the deliverance from the poverty of Paraguay to the abundance in Canada. And now in Canada, as I looked around the room, I recognized that our generation, we have accumulated land and wealth. And I had to reflect, was it for the land and the wealth that our family left Ukraine? I mean, is this the dream? The promised land, prosperity? Well, certainly it was part of the dream. Let's be realistic. To live in a war-torn region and in poverty is no one's dream for their family. But I know, knowing my family, that it was never the dream that our generations would hold the land and the prosperity without the Lord. That we would inherit one without the other. Because our parents' generation did not despise the trust that had been given to them. And the trust is this: to love the Lord your God with all their heart, to be wholehearted followers of Jesus, to receive with thanksgiving and in trust all that the Lord would give us in a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And that they, and now we, would model for our children that we love the Lord more than we love the land. And that we're thankful for the Lord more than we're thankful, more than we worship the idols that inhabit our land. And I was reminded at that funeral that I need to be careful. We are going to take some time this morning to share some of our own thoughts and hearts on Thanksgiving this morning that come from a wholehearted love for God. And I've spoken a lot about gold this morning, and I don't want to in any way imply that wealth is the only thing that we can be thankful for. In a land that's flowing with milk and honey, it's the gold we need to be most careful about, but it's certainly not the only thing that we want to be thankful for. And so Thanksgiving goes far beyond these surface things. And so I want to invite you, as you think about sharing about Thanksgiving, that your expression would be an expression of a wholehearted heart for the Lord. We are God's kingdom people. May we receive with true thankfulness all that the Lord has provided for us. Amen.